WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into waiting on, I'm waiting on the NFL schedule because I'm waiting on this Vegas thing. I will get to that. There's 17 weeks. We got a draft next week. We had a rainbow last week over the Inner Harbor. Bill Cole joins us now from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Your ears must have been burning, dude. I was out on a golf course at Hayfields on Monday with Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global. Great man. Our friends
at Hayfields.
What a beautiful course. Yeah. Oh, my God. I've never been there during daylight, and it was a perfect day. I spent the day on the golf course with Shirley from Radcliffe Jewelers. So hi to Todd and everybody out of Radcliffe. I was on the 11th hole, par three. Guy came like 5 feet from the pin to win a Rolex, like really close. But I was with business owners and a lot of people, and they were kind of the conversations that we used to have, Accelerant, all business owners, mostly white men, I'm not going to lie. It was all from Mount Washington Pediatric Hospital. I arrived, masks, everybody's masked. I'm looking at this group of people and thinking, some of them know me and I know some of them, but with my rock and roll hair, let me brush your rock and roll hair. They might not recognize me. And sure enough, you'll love this. I'm in a conversation with one of the Kelly brothers. He doesn't know me. I don't know him. And we get 4 minutes into a good morning, nice weather. How about them Orioles? He's like, you're Nasty Nestor. And I'm like, you're John Kelly. You know, like we had masks on. So, and that happened a couple of weird times. Dude, it was one of the weirdest days, but it was all business talk, employee talk, government talk, golf talk, weather talk, food talk, family talk. I have not been with people in 14 months. And I wish you were with me because it would have been a good time running around in a golf cart. It was a beautiful day, man.
It is. It's like being born again or something, right? Like you're doing all these things for the first time again. And it is so strange. It's just so strange. And you know me well enough to know that for better or worse, I usually just say whatever is, you know, needs to be said. Like I'm not real good at pulling punches or whatever.
That's why I love having you on the program. You know what I mean? Because Mueller brings the PR edge, you know, you bring South Baltimore, you know.
Right. So like, I have no problem saying, are you vaxxed? Do you want me to wear the mask? Are we wearing masks for this? I think it's totally appropriate and we all really need to be comfortable just asking one another, like, hey, what are you cool with? Like, I don't care. I'll wear a mask the whole time. It's all good. I've done that. Or, I mean, I'm
smoking a pancake, bonging a blitz.
I'm 1 week into my first shot or whatever I am. So I'm some level of safe. And,
I
am, you know,
same
and,
thing. I have one week into one shot.
and we're outdoors and the sun's shining and, you know, so I'm kind of cool with whatever, but it is just so strange. I had a in-person meeting. This might've been like 2 weeks ago and it was probably like the first coffee meeting or whatever I'd had in a long time. No, it wasn't coffee. It was like an afternoon meeting. And about 15 minutes before the meeting, I looked at it and realized, I actually have to drive there because that's in person. I don't just have to click the join meeting button on my computer. I'm not going to be there in 15 minutes. Let me call this person and apologize because I'm not even used to looking. You know, like I'm not even used to looking at where I got to be and making sure I'm leaving on time at all because every meeting occurs on my computer. So it's fun. It's wild. You know, it's crazy.
Well, you know, I'm growing the business. I'm involved in this rock and roll auction this week. So I'll have some fun with you on that this week because I haven't promoted that with anybody. And the Crab Cake Tour's sort of taken on a life, right? Like you were with Todd Schuller from Blondell Miller Schuller last week, apparently talking about crab cakes and what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And I'm really now getting into the finding sponsors, lining up the tour, lining up dates. Like, this is kind of crazy, right? So I have the month of August here because I'm going to do this in August. And by the way, it's my 30th anniversary, 30 years on radio. So I'm trying to, you know, sort of line this up with 30 years and maybe bring out some old guests and some friends. I mean, like Denny Nagel came on. He's out in Colorado, but he's got a crab cake place down in Crofton. And if he's back, so I'm trying to like organize old friendships because I haven't seen anybody in 15 months, right? Like, have you and I actually been in a room?
No.
God, I feel like we see each other every Wednesday.
Yeah, we do, but I couldn't tell you the last time we actually were physically within 8 feet of one another, even if
I have seen.
We did. We hooked up at one point.
Where were we?
Up in Towson.
Oh, we were at the radio station, but that was like 8 months ago. I mean, it's a long time ago.
It was a while.
So I start to put dates together, right? And this is where my life gets conflicted. And I talked a little bit about this last week because for me, of all the things that happened with COVID, I mean, aside from death and an insurrection, inject bleach to all of that, the thing that I remember physically for me, and this would speak to my own selfish nature, right? Is I remember when I threw the towel in, right? Like it was like March 13th. I was out at the Sports Boosters event. That was the night of the NBA thing. You came on, the world kind of shut down. We're all a little freaked out. Then there was that moment where like that 14-day thing's bullshit. You know, we're like, they're lying. Imagine Donald Trump lying to me. So right around April something, right?
Wait, this thing isn't over in 2 weeks?
No, it was not over in 2 weeks. I'm sure.
No, but is it 2 weeks from now?
No, I saw the whole movie. Trust me.
Every day I wake up, it's just 2 weeks from now.
We're in the encore now. We're playing Stairway to Heaven. We're not going to go back to the first set. We played that earlier. You missed that.
Okay.
So right around this time last year, well, it was earlier than this, I had to go into my calendar, you know, my fountain of life, my Google calendar, and literally get rid of everything. Every concert. Every event, every flight, every weird thing I thought I was doing. And my wife reminded me today, like the NFL schedule came out late. Like it came out in May last year after the draft because they didn't know what the hell they were doing. Nobody knew what they were doing, right? So I'm sort of waiting on the NFL schedule because I just realized this, we play in Chicago and we play in Detroit. Those are going to be good trips for me. I'm going to have a great time on those trips. The Vegas trip's going to be good. We play in Denver and Miami as well. So the day, Billy, when I swept my calendar clean was a really, you know, every Pearl Jam, every Rolling Stone, every Sheryl Crow, every Cheap Trick, every Rod Stewart, every Ramstein concert, every Wolf Trap, every everything was out of the book, right? Every hockey game, everything, right? So I'm now putting things back in the calendar for the first time in 13 months, right? And I went up on the Polestar and I made a mistake. Like it looked like the Bodines were playing at Ramstein later in the month. And I threw a note to the guitar player and said, "Will you come?" I'm doing a lot of rock and roll right now because music's the thing that I feel like is coming back. The Oriole players don't want to come on the show. The Raven players are evaporated. I want to have people on the show that want to like you, that want to be on the show. So I start putting things together. Michael Steele says to me, the Republican National Committee, he's going to run for governor. He was on the show. He said, "I want to do a crab cake with you on the tour, and I want to do it at a place called Jerry's in Bowie." You know about this place? The Crab Bomb. Apparently very, very famous. Everybody – this is why I don't hang out with Redskins – or excuse me, Washington football team fans anymore. So he wants to do that, and I'm trying to move the crab cake tour in August. But now Merriweather has announced Rod Stewart and Cheap Trick. And I'm thinking of all of the shows that could be my – first concert back with a beer at Merriweather, the thing we've talked, my bucket list, right? That I've told you, beer, Merriweather, lawn has to happen. Now that I'm putting this tour together, I'm going to be in Cambridge. I'm going to be in, how do I get to Merriweather? So apparently on the 11th of August, I'm going to try to plan the crab cake in conjunction with the Merriweather. You know, I'm doing something to put something together on my calendar to piece together something that might be.
Yeah.
And I haven't done that in 13 months. So when you talk about getting excited about whatever it is you're getting excited about, putting it in your calendar and having it be not in number two pencil with an eraser or in a gray tone and say, "I really think I'm going to do that." You traveled recently. Give me a little feedback on like trying to have fun, because I went out on a golf course where a lot of people did a great thing for a great cause on Monday. Mount Washington Pediatric. And I think the golf part was really normal. Like, you know, that's the one thing you could, like, fishing is normal at this point. But meeting at the beginning of the day and loading up the carts and getting everybody out in captain's choice, nobody's looking at anybody. It was weird, man. It was really weird.
Yeah, that I did one up at Hayfields. This probably was October, and it was a rescheduled from the spring for, I think it was Susan G. Komen, right? And same deal, right? Lots of good people, but it was, you know, here's 100 ninjas hanging out with golf clubs in their hand and sunglasses. You can't tell who anybody is. You don't know. Like, I think that might be that guy. I think that might be that lady. I don't know.
That's Justin Spieth over there. No, I'm sorry.
It's so weird. But the golf is fairly normal, right? Like once you get out and you go, I don't know. The fact that the weather is nice, like, whether we were winning against this and people were getting that or not, we would all be like headed back out to outdoor dining. And just that is still remains like a significant, you know, bonus to life. Right.
Well, this weekend it's going to be 70, and Amici's just opened an outdoor garden. I've been to Amici's 10,000 times. It's my favorite place on earth. It's right there. You can look behind me, right under the rainbow. Look at that. The rainbow's coming right out of Amici's. But we have never dined al fresco back in the alley. They've got a beautiful, like, Italian garden that they've put together. And I'm like, that's pandemic. You know what I mean? I want to talk to every single person that's come up with something new and made something better or changed their life, because I'm making a lot of change in my life. And I think you and I've talked about this every week. One of the key things in my life right now is a lot of things in my life are about to change. We're about to sell my condo. Things are changing with my business and my brand. The world's about to change. The city's really about to change. I feel that. And I'm excited about all of that. I really am.
I just think that the good things will stay. Some of the things that we might not like will stay, but it's okay. I mean, I think outdoor dining is just a wonderful thing, especially where we live, where, you know, you can probably do it
8 months a year.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe you don't want to sit outside in July, right? Maybe it's a little tough during the day because it's just too hot. But for the most part, because of our mild climate, like, it's just a really pleasant experience. And I hope that it causes some permanent change in positive ways. Cause there are sections like the stuff in Fells Point, right? I think that we may have talked about this, but where the Pendry is and Thames Street.
We can turn that area into the most European.
Yeah. You shouldn't be able to drive.
Somebody said to me, maybe it was Jason Seamer. Somebody said to me, no, it was out of town. Or it was Jason Cole. Jason Cole came on this week talking NFL, and he's got a book on Elway. And he said, when I come to Baltimore, I think of like New Orleans in Europe. And I thought, now that's something for Al Hutchinson. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing,
right?
There's not going to be anything like what we can make this because of the architecture. How about that Domino's fire, huh? It was like creme brulee all over Fells Point, huh?
Yeah, that's a bad deal, because where does that go, right? Like, I think they're always on the edge of finding a better facility and moving out, so I don't know where that's going to end up. But somebody, it might have been Al, that said to me one time, I don't know if it was Al, but I should probably figure out who told me this, because it's so true. Like, that little spot down there, so you have Pendry, you know, five-star, beautiful, you know, expensive, but just like top-of-the-line accommodations, right? And you can walk directly across the street, sit on a sticky bar stool, have a crappy beer, and eat an oyster in a bar that's been there for 200 years. Like, I don't think you can go other places and find that. Like, that is extremely unique to Baltimore. And I really think, like, I would support the concept of no traffic on Thames Street for some stretch of that. You can't cut the Pendry out. Like, you got to help them get their traffic in. But other than that, like, you don't need to park there. Build a parking garage a couple blocks up, get rid of some blight and you know, where nobody even lives in vacant homes. And I don't know, man. I think there's good stuff to come out of it. So that, I guess the question you asked was, you know, you're really excited about concerts and things like that. And I'm just saying, just the mere fact of like,
For me, it's concerts. Whatever it is that you're putting into your calendar that was absent, vacant, right. And in many cases, and I'm not the only one that plans ahead, right? Everybody had to go to their calendar and pull their soul out, whether it was their kid's birthday party, their wedding. I mean, we missed a wedding last year in Europe for the guy that saved my wife's life. I mean, there are things that you're never going to replace in your calendar, but there hadn't been anything in my calendar in a year. So just to have a golf tournament in my calendar on a Monday and actually go and do it and survive it and enjoy it more than I have ever enjoyed golf tournaments, because I'm not the world's biggest golf tournament guy. You know, I like people. I don't like golf.
But that's the thing. It's the enjoying part. So like whether I was legitimately scared of going to a restaurant or eating outdoors, it was recommended, right, that for the safety of others – and yourselves, that we probably shouldn't do that. So that's where I land. I land on, well, I don't really need to go out to eat. You know, like we can cook again. We can order takeout. We can, you know, we don't need to go sit with others and all that. But now you're crossing back over and it's like, oh yeah, that's right. I got a vaccine and I'm pretty sure that guy got a vaccine and we can probably meet and have a coffee together. Holy crap. That's awfully
exciting. Yeah, I guess it's 4 or 5 weeks away from that, right? Like May 7th is my second shot. What do they say? Did you get Pfizer or did you get Moderna?
Moderna.
I got Pfizer. Okay.
I was supposed to get J&J, but the day before they canceled that bad boy.
Bill Cole is here. He's Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. He joins us. He fixes commercial roof spaces and figures out solar. I had a great solar conversation with some guys from Pennsylvania, you know, about fields and land and, you know, just all sorts of stuff. So big shout out to Leonard Raskin and Paula Bragg at Mount Washington Pediatric Hospital, pushing things forward. Just the exact things that Bill Cole wanted me to do when he recommended that I trash my sports brand and become Baltimore Positive. Right, Bill?
I know. This story changes every time. Now I'm trashing the sports.
It's a slippery slope.
The point was just expand your horizon.
Bill Cole, you just destroyed Nasty Nester. You softened him up. He's one of them liberals now.
Share more of yourself with the world. Don't be afraid.
I am. That's why
don't
I'm here. Afraid. Okay, right. So I'm going to share something right now. It's rock and roll week, okay? So as much as you're talking about Fells Point and taking your wife and the Pendry, shout out to Juan down at the Pendry, or Patrick Cooper, take him over for a burger. I went to Sláinte 2 weeks ago, wound up at Cooper's, and I wound up getting just delicious shrimp tacos. I mean, delicious. And I threw Patrick in there. So I was in Fells. Eddie Lauer's coming on this week, talking Admiral's Cup and, you know, the Atlas boys buying that. And Jason Seamer came on this week talking about rock and roll and his band and Bad With Names. So I'm doing music a little bit. I told you a month or two ago that I've decided to get rid of all my rock and roll stuff, right? So I've known the people at Hunt Auctions for 15 years, right? David Hunt comes to the Super Bowl every year. And you go look on YouTube. He brings me, like, this is the jersey that Johnny Unitas wore in the 59 championship game. Here's the helmet Artie Donovan wore in the 58 championship game. Here are the pants Tom Maddie was wearing when, you know, like all of that stuff, right? So he brings that stuff to me and he auctions it. He's been doing this forever. I had a Louis Aparicio jersey that Ted Patterson, the late, great Ted Patterson, and we're going to have a memorial for him coming up in a couple of weeks with his son. So love Ted. Ted and I did a lot of radio together. Ate a lot of chicken wings together too. So Ted had Louis Aparicio's last jersey, 1973. It was gray like this shirt, right? And it was Boston 11. It didn't even fit me because Louis was so small. It didn't even fit me. And it was in my closet for 15 years. He's a Hall of Famer. Louis autographed it. And I'm like, I'm afraid the moths are going to get to it. I'm not wearing it. I'm not putting it on the wall. So I auctioned it like 12 years ago. And it, you know, whatever I got for it, I got for it. Check came, great, whatever. I have vats of rock and roll memorabilia from my almost famous days. Billy Joel, David Bowie, Robert Plant, all this stuff, right? Paul McCartney, all of this stuff from people I've interviewed. And it's been in a box. Bill, how long, you've known me 15 years, right? Back in the turn of the century, I went to Kansas City and I saw the sports radio station there that Jeff Montgomery owned. It's a good business conversation. They opened a sports bar. And I approached some people. I approached Steve DeCastro, different people about the ESPN zone. What if we had the WNST grill, the WNST cafe? What if we put it in the New Hunt Valley? Instead of putting Green Turtle on it, we put WNST cafe. I had thoughts. And some of this stuff would have wound up on the walls there, right? My radio station, you've been to my radio station many times. It turned into an artistic piece. Lots of stuff took legs. I had employees that stole stuff from me over the course of time. Really pissed me off. So stuff would disappear. So that it didn't ever, and it did not become a safe place. Still can't find my whole Louis Aparicio autograph collection. Probably worth 10 grand. It's gone. So things miss, right? So all of this stuff has been sitting for 18 years in a plastic thing in the bottom of my basement that my wife has seen once or twice. She's like, that stuff's really great. I bet it's worth a lot of money. And I'm like, I guess. I mean, I always thought at some point someone would come and say, look at that Billy Joel autograph. Wow, look at that. And it never got to that point. I'm 52. So I have all of this stuff and I'm auctioning it off this week. Does that make sense to you that like, that I'd want to get rid of it? And that I don't like need the money or, but I just don't want the stuff to burn or to get lost in a flood like some of my rush stuff did.
Yeah. But I mean, I think you should probably turn some of it into NFTs and you'd probably have more success with that. Like,
what are you talking about?
Do you know anything about NFTs?
Oh yeah.
Non-fungible token.
Yeah. My dude Mike's into that, right? So he's the NBA cards and all that.
Yeah,
dude, that's enough hours in a day for me.
But they do it with art pieces, and the premise behind it is the blockchain, and the blockchain ensures that it ensures the legitimacy of the piece, right? So.
Well, so all of my stuff, if you see here, like this is the Robert Plant thing. You can see the autograph. You zoom in on all this stuff. All of it was graded and marked out in a way that I never knew. Like I've had this Paul McCartney piece since 1987. They're calling it an 8 out of 10, right? I mean, I have the ticket stub with it and like whatever. Because like all of this stuff is in a box. Here's my David Bowie autograph. And Bowie autographed everything with the year on it. So they all have 91. So you can see. So if you have an 86, they say 86. Like I learned this, right? And there's the backstage pass that came with it, right? So all of my stuff comes with sort of an authentication that it was sort of mine. And some of this stuff, like this is interesting, dude. This Bruce Springsteen book is mine. Like legitimately, this piece next to it is not mine. I don't know what the hell this is. And that doesn't even look real to me, right? So, but that's real apparently, right? So this is more David Bowie stuff that I have here, right? Like, and I don't know why nobody's bidding on this. And I have no idea why. Like I thought this Aerosmith stuff, this is my stuff here. I thought the autographs weren't very good because Steven Tyler signed it with a pen and not like with a Sharpie, right? So all of this stuff gets graded. And I talked to Mark Miller, your friend Todd Schuller, his partner Mark. He's into the baseball card thing. So we did that last week. This is my Eddie Van Halen and Sammy Hagar. Now this turns out to be like a 9 out of 10, like really badass because they all signed it in silver. It's amazing. I got this stuff signed in 1993 at Meriwether Post Pavilion. Billy Joel and I had a little meal together one time backstage, and he signed a bunch of stuff for me. This stuff has been, it's 9 out of 10, it's considered. I don't know. But here's the weird thing. You ready for this one? By the way, Meatloaf, I want to show Meatloaf because I liked him so much. He was very nice to me. He talked a lot of baseball. Not worth a whole lot. Steinmin died the other day, who wrote all of his songs. So I have all of this stuff. There's guitars in here. None of these guitars are mine, by the way. All this stuff's sort of mixed. Some of it's mine. Some of it's not mine. This is mine, however. Do you know what this is, man? Can you see what this is? This is the highest bid on piece.
Ticketmaster.
It's a ticket from the Capitol Center from the Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Right to Party. They had a giant inflatable penis on the stage and a cage with girls in it all over the stage. This is when your parents wouldn't let you go to the show, Bill, right? Is you ready for this? It's a wild story. So I'm the music critic at the Baltimore Sun. The PR staff at the Capitol Center wants me to come and do a story on a new thing they're doing. Are you ready for this? Your 13-year-old daughter is into the Beastie Boys, Bill, right? I'll pull the share down. So I'm the reporter in the little, what used to be the dining room for the VIPs, okay? For one night, they turned it into the quiet room. So if you and your wife are upset about your daughter going to the Capitol Center in 1987 to see these cretins, the Beastie Boys, doing these sexual things on stage, but you're going to let your daughter go anyway because she's into this new rap thing. She's been watching Yo MTV Raps, right? You get to sit in the quiet room as a parent, get free Coca-Cola, and be there when – so you're present when your daughter's inside to make sure she's not – nothing weird's happening, right? That all the things Tipper Gore's talking about and getting music banned and all the stuff that you and I don't believe in, right? So I'm up in the quiet room at 7 o'clock with my – my real notebook. You ready? I'm a real – this is little Nestor reporter. My hair was not quite – that wasn't long in 87. I was still trying to be legitimate and get a job. So I'm up there, and all of a sudden, three dudes come up with their hats sideways, and they come up, and they are the Beastie Boys, right? So they show up now. They're with all of the parents and some of the little brothers and sisters that tagged along that didn't have a ticket to get in. So now all of a sudden, Ad Rock, Mike, they're standing there, and they're talking to me because I'm the reporter doing the story to show that they're not animals. They didn't bite the head off the bat. They're not there to hurt anybody's daughter, right? And I handed them the ticket and they all signed it, right? Yeah. So this is the ticket and they signed it. It turns out that lot number 635, this is worth more than the Paul McCartney Rolling Stone cover. It's worth more. The David Bowie autograph's got no heat. He's dead. Now, I know one of these guys is that, you know, like, I hear you. Why is an autograph by Mike DMCA and Ad Rock? Why? I don't understand NFT. I don't understand why the George Brett card that I had four sheets of is now worth $4,000. It blows my mind. But I do understand why you want a Billy Joel autograph or a Paul McCartney autograph. I do not understand. And I love the Beastie Boys. I mean, they did a nasty album. You know what I mean? I'm down with all that, but I don't get why this is the most valuable, but there it is. Have at it. They told me I'd have a hard time explaining this.
I can't explain the Beastie Boy thing. I mean, other than, you know, it's just a novelty and it's a human thing where we trade value between humans. You know what I'm saying? And somebody found it and they really love the Beastie Boys and blah, blah, blah. Where, just to try and make this piece slightly educational that we're working on, is like, okay, NFTs around memorabilia. It is the exact same thing with less friction on the transaction and more certainty. So you've had those pieces graded now, right, by an expert, whatever. That legitimacy can now get certified or can get captured in a blockchain so that when it leaves your hands, when it leaves the auctioneer's hands and goes to that person that bought it, and then the next person, and then the next person, and then the next person, that legitimacy stays because the blockchain can ensure that. The other part about it is that if you're operating in, and this is like, not like if you go to, I don't know if you want me to share, just tell you the link, but OpenSea as an ocean.
Go ahead.
.io.
Go ahead. All right. Okay. There you go. I just pulled it up for you. How about that? The largest NFT. Let me tell you what. I know about this. I've heard about this. To be speculative about what will and will not become art and will or will not have value is interesting to me, but it would take up the rest of my day like like starting to golf. You know what I'm saying?
It's, no.
So
yeah,
like,
I'm not,
one of the reasons I even got rid of all of this stuff here that I was pulling up. By the way, that Def Leppard thing was not mine, by the way. Some of this stuff, like I'm looking at and thinking, man, my kid would love that Dave Matthews guitar. Pete would love this Keith Richards guitar.
Right. Right. Don't spend more on the auction than you're winning on your items.
Look at that Keith Richards autograph, 95. It looks great, man. That's 9 out of 10. It's rated.
What it, the understanding of how the universe is evolving is the reason why I bring the NFT thing up to you, right? It's not because I want you to spend your time evaluating whether a piece of art is worth anything. That's not the point, right? Like you want what you want, you value what you value. What NFTs represent is a new way to transact that at some point gets as easy as a dollar or a credit card. You know, think about the first time you had a credit card. Like, was that mind blowing for people? What do you mean? I can use this piece of plastic. I don't have to give them a dollar. That's crazy. You know, and maybe it wasn't because credit that was already a thing, but it's a way to transact that is has certainty, right? So,
eBay, only 2,000 of these made.
There's that. There's the rarity.
Well, that's
of
why
it.
We numbered art all these years, right? Like literally.
And the idea that how can I get paid, right? Like the instantaneous transaction, the fact that this probably is not a popular position for your auctioneer, but like the fact that the auctioneer gets to take a scrape off of that, you know, like you don't have to do that anymore, right? Like,
well, maybe the fact that the auctioneer's taking a scrape and that the authenticator's taking a scrape, you're like, I get all of that, right?
Well, and we can't,
and I could have sold this stuff on eBay, but it would have been graded. It would have been graded by me in that I was a music critic and I had access to these people and they signed stuff and half of it signed to me, quite frankly. So, you know.
And I think there's value. Yeah, I mean, I think there's value in the authentication piece, right? The question is, the auctioneer is charging you for the platform to sell and to speak to their people. Well, you can probably speak to more music fans than your auctioneer can, right? Through your social channels. So reality is all you needed is a platform and the e-commerce vehicle to transact, right? And then how can I get certainty around the payment, right? Like I need to make sure that if I'm going to ship this off to someone that I get real money and it, you know, like that part of the trusted transaction, that's the other part that can be reinforced through the NFTs. I don't know, man. We could do a whole hour of digital currency, crypto, NFTs. And
it's hot. I mean, like, again, I did an hour with Mark Miller last week on baseball cards, and we've had a lot of heat on that segment because everybody had a baseball card, and everybody remembers the Cal Ripken card and thinking, right, one day it'll be worth $1 million. And in some cases, they were right. And I guess that's the same thing with this NFT thing, right?
Yeah, but I don't even know. Like, my interest isn't in that. My interest isn't necessarily in the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card that we all thought would be worth $1 million, but unfortunately, they printed 1 million of them, so they're not. You know, it's more about the change and the back, you know, the back of house transaction stuff. And then what the comical part at this point is, we could spend an hour talking about it, and someone would be listening that would think we were morons, right? Because they've read more than us. And it's so much more complicated that our layman's version of what we describe would be inadequate. And then there's a whole other group of people who would listen to us and say, what in the world are these guys even talking about? Because they have zero, all they think is just, it's all Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin. The stuff that will change 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, whatever it is, using blockchain technology, and most of it's being built on like the Ethereum platform, but like smart contracts and instantaneous international transactions, you know, like do you think it would be a good business if rather than go to Western Union to wire money from Baltimore to Guatemala, And Western Union charges you $20 out of the $100 you're trying to send, right? And it takes 6 days, right? Where you can use digital currency, it's not only is it instantaneous, but the scrape is like 0.00001 or something, right? It's like so negligible. Like, that's a good business, right? Like, that's a disruptive business. Instead of going Western Union style,
well, disruptive because it's attractive to so many people, right?
That's what I mean, right? That, okay, well, like, that exists right now, and it's being used by people, you know. And there's stuff in between what I just talked about, and then the PayPals and the Venmos, and then, you know, go up to the Western Unions, and all, like, all up and down that
we've spectrum. Eliminated Uncle Sam printing dollar bills. Understood.
Well. I don't
your personal need for that. Young people in my life think it's crazy when I'm like, you know, I need to have some cash in my pocket. Not a lot. I don't ever carry more than $50-$100 on me. You know what I mean? Like, but you do feel naked when you're old and you don't have cash in your pocket. Right. I got a lot of Venmo going on right now. Right. I mean, that's, you know, like literally that's people want to pay and buy and trade on Venmo.
Yeah, and it's easy, and I get it, and, you know, credit cards are cool, and, I mean, the one touch, I don't know if we were talking about it a couple of weeks ago or whatever, but, like, the amount of crap gets bought, mostly just because it's 30 seconds away from my thumb on the phone.
Oh, we went through that last week.
Yeah, like that's a
I hope that happens on this Billy Joel stuff here up on the auction, man. You know, so Bill Cole is here, Gordian Energy and Cole Roofing. Tell everybody what you do and how to get you on their roof. And hey, man, at some point we're going to get a ball game in, you and I. All right.
Yeah. Well, currently I'm trying to figure out how using digital currency and blockchain, we can actually sign a contract to do a construction project where the money that gets paid by the owner is already identified, that gets paid to the general contractor, and then that gets paid to the subcontractors. And there's no way for those dollars to go anywhere else once the underlying conditions have been met.
They're an escrow, essentially, right? Like,
yeah, but
better than escrow. Like, escrow more than escrow. Correct.
Yeah, that's all I'm looking. Well, I'm looking for certainty, right?
And you're the blockchain receipt, almost right.
The blockchain exactly. Says that that's for me. So once I meet the criteria that I'm supposed to meet, it should come to me. It shouldn't go to the general contractor who, if he's having a rough spot, ends up paying it to somebody else because he owes them from another job. Like, just that whole certainty of how the money is controlled. That's a smart contract that can be done on the blockchain. That, for small contractors, would be a massive, like, improvement in our ability to do business.
And quicker.
Quicker.
More efficiently. More efficiently. Fair
enough. More efficient, and just the transparency. Just the transparency of and the certainty that you will get paid is pretty significant. And think about when I have a bunch of those, you know, talk about me, but talk about a small contractor. When he has those, and then he goes to the bank and says, hey, can you lend me $200,000 because I need to buy stuff to go do this work? And here's my smart contracts that say, once I do this work, I'm going to get paid. Like, okay, currently the banks are like, I don't know what you're talking about. But once we get to a point where that's understood and that is essentially collateral, well, that's better. That's a better transaction for everybody. I might even be able to take that smart contract and say, hey, every time a dollar comes to me from this, send it to them. And then the bank has certainty. So the bank should be able to lend me significantly more
at a better rate
on what my ask is. Yeah. So there's, but that's all totally crazy stuff that I'm really not working on. I don't have time to work on because we're too busy trying to fix people's roofs and build solar arrays on their roofs, you know?
I'm the same way, man. I mean, I'm too busy working on this to be working on NFTs right now.
Right.
Waiting on the Raven schedule, working on a crab cake tour as well. Bill Cole will be having a crab cake and hopefully an adult beverage with me at some point soon. You can find him at a Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, as well as at Baltimore Positive for all of these segments. I am Nestor. We are WNST. We are continuing our our wise conversations. Getting up on Mother's Day here soon. I got all sorts of holidays and different stuff going on. We're talking nutrition and talking MDA this month and rounding up. So if you're rounding up at Wise, that money's going to the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Had a beautiful little visitor on the program here this week. You can go check her out at Baltimore Positive with my pal Rob Santoni as well. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.